Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Tuesday, March the 11th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Our top story today, a 12-week inquiry into plans to build thousands of new homes near Sittingbourne gets underway today. The Heisted Park development is made up of 8,400 homes and other infrastructure, as well as a new M2 motorway junction and a southern relief road. Now, a decision on it was called in by Secretary of State Angela Rayner last November, just hours before the council was due to make a decision. Monique Bonney is chair of the Five Parishes group, who are very much against it.
We are talking about an enormous development. In length, it's about 5.5 miles straddling round all of our villages. So that's Bapchild, Milstead, Robmersham, Bredgar and Tunstall. But it has a much wider impact. It also obviously affects Tong as well, Tenham, and all the way on across the national landscape, the Kent Downs, as well as into Sittingbourne.
Now we're here, we're in Robmersham Green, just down the road, and other tiny little villages around. Yes. What's going to happen to them if Heisted Park goes ahead?
Well, these will effectively obliterate the villages. So in total, across the two applications, it's 8,400 homes.
What do locals think about that?
I think they're absolutely appalled, quite frankly, and that shows because they have supported us all the way through. We've been going about 20 years. This application was lodged in about 2021, and it's been a mess because not all the details have been forthcoming and the evidence has been changing as we go along. It's like whack-a-mole.
How's the way of life going to change for these villagers?
Well, it's quite severe here because it depends whether one application goes through or both, but it will cause an enormous amount of rat running around the rural lanes. It will cause an enormous problem around access to healthcare facilities, and in fact the NHS are involved in part of the inquiry discussions around that.
There is going to be, well, there could be a relief road. That's in the plans at the moment. Nothing is confirmed. Sittingbourne has its traffic problems. Surely this is going to be a good thing, having a relief road onto the M2.
Well, this has been discussed for many years. It's never been put into any kind of policy document. What it does do is it creates problems elsewhere. So it might appear to solve one problem, but it creates really fundamental problems elsewhere. So further along the A2 network, around the A249 and around the villages, and indeed around Sittingbourne, it shifts the problem.
Don't we need new homes? 8,500 homes. It's going to be a huge increase. Isn't that going to help the housing demand that is needed right across the UK?
So we do need homes. There is that acknowledgement across the entire community. We've already got 7,000 houses that have approvals to be built that are unbuilt, plus a further 1,800 homes that are allocated but not yet approved. This is not affordable housing what's being offered here. In a northern scheme, it's only about 4.5% is going to be affordable. I mean, that's outrageous. It's a huge land grab, taking up huge swathes of some of our best agricultural land in the country.
Monique was chatting there to Gabriel Morris from the Local Democracy Reporting Service. We can hear next from Kevin McKenna. He's the MP for Sittingbourne and is backing the project.
This is an eastern bypass for Sittingbourne, linking all of the industrial areas into the M2. But also, just ahead of me, just in front of me, is the Great East Hall Estate. All the residents are there in hundreds of houses, are basically landlocked. They've got one way in and out, which drives them right through the centre of Sittingbourne in that traffic snarl up. They're only adding to the traffic. They've got no easy way out. Residents are really frustrated. And this is what it would liberate here, not just for people living in this part of Sittingbourne, but also actually for the businesses. And it will allow Sittingbourne to bring more industry to the town and more jobs and more employment.
With a Heisted Park development, could you have it without that relief road?
Well, it has been looked at before. The key thing about this development is those houses pay for the road. They pay for other things as well, like primary schools, secondary schools, health centre, new football club, but they actually pay for the road. And we all know the state the country's in at the moment with a lack of big infrastructure, but also how tight public finances are. Effectively, this is a great way, potentially, of using housing development to also build the infrastructure. And what really matters is we get the infrastructure first, and that's what currently is being proposed by the developers.
I know that the whole development is hugely controversial, but the relief road itself has been controversial itself. I mean, I know I'll start with this. I know a lot of people are saying, why is it going for ancient wood? It's going to destroy habitats. Is it worth it?
There's always a challenge with roads like this. I do understand that there are only so many routes that work, so many routes that are flat enough or that don't involve destruction of other habitats that you can pick. This is a route that could work. That's one of the things I want the planning inspector to look at. The reason that I'm glad that the planning inspector is looking at it is that they can work with Highways England. They can see if this is credible or not. Honestly, if it's not credible and the planning inspector decides it's not credible, as far as I'm concerned, I'm very happy with that, because then I've been assured that it's been looked at properly.
And I guess the development, 8,500 homes, they're going to go very close to, particularly, maybe not so much Rodmersham Green, but Rodmersham, the little hamlet. You've got a small church, it's a very tight-knit community. It's going to be huge playing fields behind, thousands of homes in front of it. It's going to completely change the way of life from a rural community to essentially a small town. Is that worth it?
We've got to recognise the sheer amount of housing demand there is in the country and in this region and in Kent and in my constituency. We've got loads of people waiting for social housing, but we've also got lots of people who just can't get into their starter home. And we've got people, and part of the problem there is that people who are in houses at the moment haven't got a house to move up to and upgrade. We'd be able to unlock that whole chain, that whole housing ladder, a lot more effectively with these new houses. That's what it offers for the area.
As I mentioned at the start, the inquiry is set to last 12 weeks. We will bring you updates.
Kent Online News.
This is our most read story on the website today. Two teenagers have been convicted for their role in an attack on a 16-year-old boy who suffered life-changing injuries after being chased onto train tracks in Thanet. Well, Lucy joins me on the podcast with the details on this one, and a shocking case, Lucy.
Yes, it really is. Ted Warne Harvey was electrocuted after falling onto a live rail at Westgate Station. A group of teenagers who were masked and armed chased him onto the line, blocked his escape, and then hit him with a hammer. CCTV cameras caught the moment it happened in September 2021. A court's been told as his attackers fled, a brave member of the public jumped down and pulled Ted to safety.
How serious were his injuries?
Well, Ted suffered burns to his elbow and hand and needed three operations, including plastic surgery. The now 19-year-old still has poor nerve function and may never fully recover. Canterbury Crown Court's been told two of the gang involved were just 15 at the time. They were convicted of GBH with intent. Two others who've been on trial are Declan Stewart and James Adero, who are accused of encouraging and assisting the violence.
And do we know how they all ended up at the station?
The jury's been told Ted had gone there after arranging to sell his bike to another teenager, but when he arrived with his girlfriend, they were confronted by the group who'd been seen outside a nearby social club. Prosecutors said it was clear they were waiting to ambush Ted and attack him.
What did the accused have to say?
Well, Stuart, who was 16 at the time of the attack and from St Christopher Close in Margate, and Adero, who was 17 and is from Margate Road in Ramsgate, both said they never intended for any harm to be caused to Ted. They were also asked why they didn't try to help Ted. Stewart said that was his biggest regret. The pair were both found guilty of causing GBH. Stewart was also convicted of violent disorder. They've been released on bail until they're sentenced on April 28th.
Lucy, thank you ever so much. A man who was seriously injured in a crash in Gillingham has died in hospital. He'd been a passenger in a Vauxhall that was involved in a collision with a silver Audi on the A2 between Pump Lane and Blaws Lane last Tuesday. Both vehicles also hit vans parked nearby. A man's due in court following alleged sex attacks on two teenage girls in Tunbridge Wells. It's reported one was approached by a stranger in Grosvenor and Hillbrook Park on Sunday. A 53-year-old who doesn't have a permanent address has also been charged with an offence said to have happened in Southborough last October. A man's died after falling into the River Medway in Strood. Police and paramedics were called to Canal Road yesterday, along with firefighters, the air ambulance and Coast Guard. A man in his 70s was found dead. A report's now being prepared for the coroner.
Kent Online reports.
More than 4,000 asylum seekers have crossed the Channel to Kent in small boats so far this year. According to the Home Office, 237 people arrived on Sunday. Overall figures are 23% higher than the same time last year. Meantime, a man in his 30s has been arrested after reportedly travelling to Kent from France on a small boat. It's understood the Palestinian national had documented his journey to the UK from Gaza on TikTok. He was allegedly among 235 people who were picked up on four vessels in the Channel last Thursday. An investigation's been carried out after a bus carrying school children came off the Gravesend Road and ended up in a ditch. No one on the Red Route 308 was injured when it happened on the A227 near Vigo yesterday morning, but the County Council say they're working with the company to work out exactly what happened. Next today, and a Folkestone woman who's in remission after having ovarian cancer is going to be walking 100 kilometres this month to raise awareness. Louise Hutchins was diagnosed in 2023 and is now taking on the challenge over 4 days as part of the Walk in Her Name campaign. She says her aim is to walk around 4 hours a day.
March is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month in the UK, and there is a charity event that takes place. Lioness Beth Mead does it because she lost her mum to ovarian cancer. And what it is, it's a challenge to walk 100 kilometres throughout the month of March. But I decided to do it over 4 days. So it's a bit daunting. And I do sometimes think, what are you doing? But I'm going to give it my best shot anyway. And so there's a few people that have contacted me and they're going to walk with me. But basically what I want is to obviously raise awareness, raise money. But the main reason I suppose I'm doing it is because for me, it gives me a sense of something good coming out of something bad. It just feels like something to me, I need to do something positive. Like I need to get something back from it. Not to say that it was worth going through, obviously, but it's just something that will help others and it will help me as well. It will help me process it. It will help me get fit again and get my mental state back to where it was, get my body back to how it was. I think that's going to be the toughest bit, getting my body back to how it was. But it's the chemotherapy after I stopped really took its toll on my body. And I don't think that's something that people are necessarily aware of, because I expected to be ill throughout the chemotherapy and I wasn't. I was able to work. I was really lucky. But once I stopped the chemotherapy, that's when my body just sort of fell apart. And I had so much bone pain and fatigue and everything. It just really took its toll on me. But that didn't come till a few months after. So I was surprised by it. And also it's the mental side of it. So when you're sort of going through it, you go into fight mode. So you're not thinking about beyond that. You're just thinking, right, this is what I'm dealt with. This is what I've got to do to get better. And you mentally go into fight mode. And then afterwards, I have memories popping up on Facebook and on my photos on my phone. And you kind of look back and you think, wow, did that actually happen? And that is worse for me now, because at the time, I don't think I really processed it at the time. And it's kind of after that you think, oh, and it really takes you back because you think, oh. But I shaved my hair live for fundraising. And I say to people, if I got the opportunity to watch that video back, I wouldn't be able to. I wouldn't be able to bring myself to it because I find it too emotional. So it's all of that, really. So by doing this walk, it's kind of helping me process it. And like I say, it's trying to get something good from a bad situation. And if I can raise money, raise awareness, and even if it helps just one person, then that's great to me. If I can help somebody else, then that's good for me, that, you know, that's positive.
Louise is going to be setting off later this month. You can find details on facebook.com/ she's all over it.
Kent Online reports.
A man's been arrested and gloves, a balaclava and pliers seized by police investigating a burglary in Chatham. Officers were called to the Raynham Road area last Thursday and also found a concealed blade on a key ring. A 42-year-old from Rochester has been charged and is due in court. The site of a luxury seafront development in Folkestone has been put up for sale, much to the surprise of developers. The Lees Pavilion scheme will include 91 new flats in the historic sunken pavilion, but it's been hit with delays and construction ground to a halt last year. The current developers say they've been blindsided by the move, and despite the listing, they're committed to finish the project this year. A decision's due to be made this week on plans for a new development meantime on the Hoo Peninsula. Three parcels of land have been set aside for 134 homes, a nursery, community hub and commercial units. The site, which includes the former Sturdy Sports and Social Club, has been recommended for approval. £2 million is going to be spent on making council homes in Gravesham more energy efficient. Heat pumps and solar panels will be installed at 200 properties thanks to government funding. Bosses say it'll make them more energy efficient and bring down bills for tenants.
Kent Online News.
40,000 illegal cigarettes and 20 kilograms of illicit tobacco have been seized from a shop in Maidstone. Boxes of vapes have also been stopped from being sold to fund organised crime after being found at a store on Upper Stone Street. The goods would have made around £45,000. Work's due to start on improving an area of green space in Gravesend town centre. St Andrew's Gardens is going to be landscaped to make it more accessible and create better views of the river. It's hoped it'll encourage more people to use the area. Now, residents in Tenham say traffic is clogging up streets and junctions because of new double yellow lines in the town. People living in Station Road can no longer park outside their homes, and they're now taking up spaces in neighbouring streets. Some of them have been telling us what they think.
It's a nightmare. So everyone generally has more than one car, and so where they've taken our parking away and they've put double yellow lines out the front of the houses, so no one can park anywhere near their house anymore. The residents have to now park elsewhere and then walk a huge distance back to their house. Local roads are all being filled up in the evenings with cars. You know, we're parking in front of other people's houses, so then they can't park in front of their own houses. You know, the roads are getting clogged up. You know, the access, they're blocking the entrance and exits of roads, the side roads. So yeah, it's having a big impact on the neighbourhood.
Well, it's been introduced without much consultation or any consultation. The residents were not aware of it. It seems heavy-handed, and it's just been introduced, or it feels overnight, to address an issue which doesn't exist, and is actually causing more problems than it solves. Residents were parking in the car park quite happily before the car parking permit came in, and now what they've introduced is an online permit which is only permitted to one vehicle per household, which means any other vehicles now aren't able to park there. So we're now clogging up side streets, which are already clogged up with other vehicles. It's a domino effect that's treating the residents incredibly poorly and without justification.
Well, the council have told us the double yellows are designed to manage the increased traffic from the new Blossom Grove estate nearby. Well, perhaps you live in Tenham, you may have even experienced some traffic problems. You can let us know what you think by commenting on the story or on our socials. It's thought it could cost as much as £13 million to restore the winter gardens in Margate. Head to Kent Online to see CGIs of what the venue could look like if it's brought back into use after being closed since 2020. Council bosses have chosen their preferred partner to run it. A final decision will be made at a meeting next week. Meantime, work to restore the Maison Dieu building in Dover has been completed. It's taken 2.5 years to restore and upgrade the Grade 1 listed medieval town hall. Furniture and paintings will now be put back inside before it opens in May. And a 2-week-old kitten's been rescued after being found at the side of a road in Canterbury. Comet was severely injured and needed surgery, but is now being cared for by the RSPCA. They've introduced him to a female tabby who's become a surrogate mum. You can see the incredibly cute video of them meeting for the first time at Kent Online.
Kent Online Sport.
Footballer Andjay Saunders is standing down as manager of Tunbridge Angels. He's been in charge of the club for 3 years but will be leaving at the end of the season. The boss says he feels he's taken them as far as he can and is ready for a new challenge. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget to follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. Whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.